Hello, my name is David Lankus. I'm a professor at Syracuse University and a great fan of the folks that you just heard and talked about. And we're going to continue the conversation from yesterday, but if they're new to the conversation, that's great. Because a lot of what we're talking about is how to bring new voices into conversation so we can learn about it firsthand. This is nominally about conversations, but it has a lot to do with advocacy. Our greatest advocates are those that we serve and those whose lives we improve. That when we send parents and when we send children and when we send businessmen and when we send politicians before the world to ask for resources, to ask for permission, to ask for all of these things, they are our most powerful voices to share the stories of how we have helped them. So I want to talk a little bit about this afternoon, what we're going to do. What we're going to do is we're going to go through a series of questions. So you're at a table, and at that table you have a facilitator. Try and keep to about six people a table. And what we're going to do is we're going to start with a question. After for that question, you're going to talk about it for about 15 minutes. We're going to give you a two-minute warning, and at the end of 15 minutes you will hear... Thank you very much. You are then asked to get up and disperse. Do not go as a group. This is not a clique thing. The jocks and the cheerleaders will not be hanging out. And go to another table, and you'll then address a second question. So let's go through with the questions, and then you do a third. And then at the end of that, we'll come together, and we'll have a plenary discussion. That discussion is not a report out. So don't feel like you've got to be sitting there taking notes about exactly what was discussed. What we're going to start with are, what insights did you have? What stuck out in your mind? We're going to have a conversation about that. We have Stacy Weitzner. Did I screw that up? Oh, there, I did that right. Stacy's doing a brilliant job capturing what's happening in the graphic representation. As you can see, we're also keeping your tabletop. So what we're hoping is, as you're having this conversation, you have markers, you have crayons. I asked for finger paints, but the convention center said no. Sketch and doodle, draw, preferably on the paper, not each other, but hey, it's a free world. And capture these ideas. All right? So, what are the questions? The first question we're going to ask you is, based on the findings from Saturday's session, hold on, in this envisioned community of the future, what will be different about library services? So yesterday what we really did is we're having a two-part conversation, right? Because that's the thing about conversations. Conversations do two things. As a participant in a conversation, you both shape that conversation. You tell it where it's going, you give your details, you have your voice, you bring your information world to it, but it's not a conversation unless you are also shaped by that conversation. What is it that the other person, the other party is saying? What is their point of view? How can we find consensus? Yesterday, we did a lot of discussion about the community, about what they want to do in shaping the conversation. What are their challenges? What are their dreams? What are their aspirations? Today, we want to do a lot of talking about how we and what skills we need to both help them achieve those aspirations, but also, frankly, help to shape that conversation. As Rich said, we're needed, but we're not needed to sit in our buildings and watch passively. We're needed to help teach people how to have conversations, to have informed conversations, to have civil and civic conversations. So we bring values, we bring our own profession to it. What is it, what skills do we need? So here are some of the major themes that emerged from yesterday. The first is, the community is our collection. Whether that community consists of faculty and students, whether it consists of people in a geographic area, whether it consists of students in a school, whether it consists of lawyers or doctors, that's our collection. And just as we talk about collection development, we need to start talking about connection development. How do we bring these folks together? We also really identified quickly that communities are diverse. That when you talk about Dallas as a community, well, there's North Dallas, there's South Dallas, there's the Latino population, there's this population, there's that population. And that one of the challenges that we face in having conversations with our community is that we must both build and break boundaries. For people to feel comfortable, they need to feel like they belong to a community. They need to feel like there are these nice boundaries that tell them where they fit. But we know that true innovation, true power, and true advancement occurs that when you can get conversation going across very diverse groups, particularly groups that may not have had conversations in the past. And so it's a challenge for us as librarians to talk about when we do this and when we don't. And that's going to very much require flexibility on our part. We not only be flexible to meet the demands of a diverse community, but the changing needs of a diverse community. That our communities evolve, that our communities come up with different dreams, different needs, and that as a library organization and as library professionals, we must be adaptable to them. It is not simply enough to say that we got it right. This was a comment that I heard over and over again. It's not enough to say that we are damn good at what we do. Because even though you're damn good at what you do, that doesn't mean that everyone needs that forever and ever and ever. I was having a conversation with someone talking about books and why people imagine us with books. And a lot of times you go, oh, they think of us as books. How horrible. Well, why do they think of us as books? Because we do a pretty darn good job at books. We do an amazing work with literacy. We do amazing work with allowing people access to a collection, with organizing and such. But we know as community needs change, we need to build off of that and talk about, but we can also help you in other areas of the world. Communities consist of individuals and institutions. That's off. I don't know what the hiss is. It's fine. That we talk a lot about dealing with what I call members, other called patrons, readers, what have you. But we also need to look at our communities as dealing with institutions. In academic world, we may be more used to this than others. We deal with schools, and we deal with provosts, and we deal with these sort of institutional things. But within public library spheres, we deal with historical societies. We deal with food pantries. We deal with businesses. And that we can serve those institutions, and that those institutions, many of those institutions, are having these same conversations about finding relevance in today's society. And the last one that we took away that I think was one of the most powerful is that our communities have dreams. It's very easy when you talk about the challenges facing our community to focus on the problems facing our community. Homelessness. We've heard a lot about food security, the idea of food deserts and how we can provide nutrition. We talk about education. We talk about employment. We talk about jobs. The problems before us are manifold, large, and important. But we can't forget, particularly in advocacy, but also for why we wanted to get into this profession. Communities consist of more than problems. They consist of passion. They consist of dreams. They consist of where they want to be. They consist of hopes for their children. They consist of dreams for their companies. They consist of a whole range of what they want to be. And that if a library is going to truly serve a community, it must serve and facilitate their dreams and aspirations and passions as much as their problems. In the second round, we're going to ask you from these discussions, from what your community dreams are, what tools do you as librarians, what do your libraries need to take this trip into the future? How are you going to equip yourself with skills and resources, with ideas and attitudes to move forward to meet these aspirations, these dreams of their community? And in round three, we're going to ask what we'll need to change about our assumptions about libraries and librarianship. Ours, but also I would ask you to think about what assumptions do we need to change of others? What do we need to teach people about libraries? A lot of our situation that we're in is because we have trained people to think about what is a library. This notion that a library is a hoarder's paradise full of books surrounding everything is a 50-year-old vision. My colleague from Philadelphia is in the midst of talking about redoing the Central Library, and it's amazing to see pictures, because if you look at the pictures of 1920s and 1910s, Philadelphia Free Library, downtown, it is a wide open space with beautiful architecture, tons of natural light, and desks for people to do what we're doing here. And if you look at a picture from today, there are books and columns and a maze full of information for people to work through. And yet, do we provide them with the space to actually work through those problems? So, what assumptions do we need to change within ourselves and within our communities? I want to give you a few guidelines, then I'm going to prime the pump and turn you loose. Few guidelines. Focus on what matters. It's a great time to have a conversation. It's a great time to catch up. But we need to constantly ask, are we talking about something that's important, or are we talking about something that's annoying me? I have to ask that more often than most of myself. Right? What are we talking about? What matters? Contribute your thinking. It is very easy because you are surrounded now by the most brilliant people in the field. And I'm not talking about the people on the stage. Right? It is very easy to sit back and listen and go, wow, that's great. That's awesome. But unless you're willing to contribute your own information, there was a comment yesterday about everyone needing to do the hokey pokey together to reduce risk and putting their hands in at the same time. There was an unfortunate twist that turned into cutting off arms. I don't know where that came from. But the idea is to truly have a conversation. We must all contribute to those. Speak from your mind and your heart. A profession becomes a profession not in the functions that we do, but in the mission that we attempt to succeed at. Many of you became librarians not because it was the next thing to do, not because it was the best financial career move. We did it because there was something that got us passionate, whether it was reading or serving a community. What was it? Was it knowledge and staying out in the scholarly world? Was it immersing yourself in information? That passion is what I ask you to bring to this conversation today. Listen to understand. Don't listen to wait till you can jump in. This was when I've learned a lot. Right? So when you're having a conversation, you're sitting there going, okay, I've got an analogy about that. I've got a joke about that. Keep coming. What else do we have? You want to listen to understand. I heard a great actor on NPR, and he said the best scenes are the ones that when he's done, he knows exactly what the other actor said and has no idea what he said. Because it's completely responsive. You're listening and you're learning and you're tuned in. Link and connect ideas. As you're drawing together, feel absolute no shame in reaching across the desk and adding a line. And adding to these ideas and talking about it. When you move from table to table, you're going to be presented with delightful intellectual graffiti. This is a foundation for you to add. Listen together for insights and deeper questions. Play. Doodle. Draw. Writing on table is encouraged. People often look at play as a somehow we're not supposed to do that. They paid for me to go to Dallas. I can't play. Yeah, right. Right? Play is how we learn. This is how you learn from crawling to walking to running to driving your children insane, or driving your parents insane. Freudian slip. Right? We play. Be playful with the ideas. There is no one who's going to write this down and report back, do you know what they said about the hokey pokey? It's not going to happen. All right? Questions about the process. All right, so let me prime the pump for a moment. What I want to talk about is continue something you talked about yesterday. I want to talk about raising expectations. I want to talk about raising expectations not only of ourselves and our institutions, but also of our communities. I think all too often we aim for those things we know we can succeed at, and we fail to reach beyond what we can truly do. We need to raise expectations. We need to expect more of ourselves. More contribution, more innovation. There are no more worker bees allowed in this profession. That's what I tell my students. I said, we don't need anyone else who can fulfill a job duty. We need people who can start ripping them up and writing what we really need to do. I talked to a library director. She goes, when I hire a new person, I say, here's the job duty. There's an excellent chance by the time you're in your first year, it will change. And then she pauses and says, in fact, by the time you take the job, there's a good chance it will change. This is the world we live in. Now, the truth is, this is the world we've always lived in a dynamic and crazy world. We've just attempted to stifle it and let it seep around the edges. Well, the edges have come back to us, and we're now into the point of a participatory world. When you talk about a world of tweeting, when you talk about a world of Google, when you talk about a world of ebook, when you talk about high expectations, when you talk about people who don't remember because they can look it up, this is a world that we created. I think all too often we look at it and we've seen somehow in stunned silence of what happened here. And I ask you to go back and look at your advocacy and your materials and your mission for the past 10 years and how much of it is about empowerment. How much of it is about giving voice to the voiceless? How much of it is learning? How much of it is scholarship? Is it any wonder that people that for years and years we have worked to provide information into their hands to make better decisions suddenly ask, well, what about your decisions? Is it any is it any surprise that people that we have taught that they can have a voice, shape and make a destiny, look at ours and say, well, can we shape your organization? Can we shape your destiny? Can we talk about what you're doing? This is what we wanted. We see people are Googling and e-books and all this other stuff, but isn't that exactly what, if 15 years ago I had said, you as a librarian can provide direct service of documents, materials, yourself, answering questions in milliseconds to someone's desktop. Who wouldn't have gone, woohoo! And now that we're doing it, we suddenly go, oh wait, is that what we wanted? Yes! That's what we wanted. We need to raise the expectations because the game is now harder. I've been in the reference world for a long time and we have this wonderful belief that somehow reference questions are getting harder. I've been doing this for 20 years, and for 20 years we've been saying reference questions have been getting harder. And let's face it, it's, you know, no one ever asked us where the best pizza joint is. Google can have that query. We weren't the first stop, right? But now they are getting harder because they're about synthesis, the easy stuff. What is the average rainfall in the Amazon forest? Easy stuff. What does it mean? What's its impact? How does that handle the indigenous population? What does that mean to agriculture? Those are harder questions, but those are where we need professionals and professional guidance. Our game is higher. Our expectations of ourselves need to be higher. We need to expect more of our colleagues. Once again, the idea of waiting for someone to retire is not an effective HR strategy. I will tell you that forcing them into an early retirement through disability is also not advised, but sometimes really attractive, right? We need to raise expectations. We know that we need partners on the other end. This idea that we bring in administrators and they'll save us is crap. We're all in charge of this. We're all responsible. And lastly, we need to raise the expectations for our community. They are not users. They are not consumers, they are not customers, they are citizens, they are students, they are neighbors, they are people. That means that they don't simply take and walk away, they can contribute, they can build, they have ideas, they have imagination, they have aspirations, they are part of us, they are our members. Now, in October of last year, a bunch of librarians and museum folks from around the world, 24 different countries, gathered in Salzburg, Austria. And their job was to talk about libraries and museums in an era of participatory culture. And one of the task force that I was on was asked to think about what are the skills necessary to work in this participatory world. And what we did, librarians and museums, people from Africa, people from Europe, people from the United States, what we did is we got together and we said, what's a curriculum look like? If you're teaching library professionals or museum professionals today, what does that curriculum look like? And some of it is terribly easy to guess. The technology. They need to know some technology. They need to have an ability to engage and evolve with technology. They need an ability to impart and teach that community, particularly across generations, and they need to create an effective virtual presence. They need to have management for participation. They need to have professional competencies, understand our ethics and our values, to emphasize sharing and collaboration. Asset management. They need to be able to deal with stuff. But what's very interesting, you'll notice, and I'm sorry, it's a small type, but under asset management, the first one says preserve / safeguard. What there was a realization that there are museums out there that have no walls. They have no physical artifacts. There are remembrance museums in the Dominican Republic that are museums dedicated to the disappeared and the politically eliminated. There are people dealing with reconciliation. In libraries, we have libraries lending out fishing rods and puppets and people. We don't preserve them, but we safeguard them. They need to collect and organize. They need cultural skills, dealing with languages and terminology. Knowledge, they need to understand the nature of knowledge and learning. That it is, they need to understand improvisation and innovation and creativity. That creativity becomes a hallmark of our profession. That we need people with ideas in this profession, not people with brilliant execution. We need both. But the one new area that they said, this all, we can fit this in. There's an attitude to it, but we can fit this into a lot of what we do now. But there's one area that we need to add to both of these. And that is a skills in transformative social engagement. That we need to teach our professionals, we need to teach librarians how to become community organizers, how to help with activism, how to help empower people not simply to have the great ideas, but to act upon them. That they need to understand social responsibility. That it's not enough to provide books and materials on the idea that your environment's changing and we're running out of power, but you need to do something about it. That we need to do critical social analysis. That we have to understand that our public programming fits into a larger agenda. In many cases, that's a larger agenda of our cities or our universities or our businesses, but it can be also a larger development agenda. It can be a larger anti-violence agenda. It can be a larger hunger agenda. And we need to understand advocacy. We need to understand how to move communities to action, political policy action, that we as librarians need to help organize the people. We say we give them a voice. We need to also give them a clue of what to do with that voice. We need to understand the sustainability of a societal mission. We need to understand that conflict management is more than writing a policy that says if you get in a fight, we kick you out. We need to understand that some conflicts are deep and ideological and that we need to be able to engage in them in a real, sustained way. I had a student come back from a library conference and said, I went to a talk by the head of security of a large urban library, and I was horrified because this person told a story about his job was anytime there was a fight, he'd kick them out. And he told the story about how this one teenage kid was being picked on by other teenage kids. And this young teenager pulled out a gun, and the security guy laughed. And my student just went, I nearly got up and strangled him myself. This idea that we are dealing with communities that have real fundamental challenges and simply policing our way out, as Catherine would say, for risk avoidance doesn't work. We cannot say that we are a haven separated from the woes of our community. We need to engage within them. We need to truly understand these community needs. Now, some people will look at this and say that's not the role of a librarian. In fact, so I wrote a book. It's important to push the book. In fact, at the table, you have a blue card giving you 10% off my book at the ALA bookstore. But within there, I said, the mission of librarians is to improve society through facilitating knowledge creation in their communities. I put that out. I said, the mission of librarians is to improve society. Feel free to stop it there. Now, this is not the part of the book that I thought would get people upset. But it was. Who are you to define what improve means? Who are you? Who let you shape a community? What is your special understanding of this? This belief that somehow when I say improve society, what I mean is that we have some grand, glorious scheme that we are going to impose upon the world is nuts. But our communities have asked us to improve. That's why we're here. That's why we have libraries. You think about it. There's a lot of discussion about what is a library. You know, why are you doing that? Why do you have gaming in a library? Why do you have a fab lab in a library? That's not a library. Just get the books and get out of my way. My question back to them is, why do we have books in the library? Well, so people can learn. Is a book the only way people can learn? Well, why are we doing this? Why do we have libraries? It is not to the opiate of the masses so that we can stun them all with Harry Potter while we magically go on and close down all of intellectual property that can be sold. Why do we have libraries? We have libraries so that we can improve the societies that we're in. We believe, back to Carnegie when he built them, that we can do real and permanent good, that we can allow people, regardless of money, regardless of social status, that they can come in and they can have a shape and they can have a voice and they can have a chance. We have libraries in universities because we believe that there's a cauldron of innovation and ideas. Libraries are not adjuncts to the community where we simply gather data to be repurposed. We are not buying agents of the community. We are of the community. We are the preservation of the democratic voice. We are a foundation and a platform for innovation. Those skills rarely look like cataloging. And so yesterday what we heard when we talked about how do I meet these community needs? Do I need to be a librarian and a social worker and an entrepreneur and Gandhi? What do I need here? Right? The problem is there is no AACR2 for transformation. There is no Dewey Decimal System for conversation. And it freaks people out. Of course you're scared. Of course. This idea that somehow transformation is a self-defining term is garbage. We can't simply sprinkle transformation on people. Congratulations, you have transformed. You may now star in a very bad Michael Bay movie. Whatever. We don't do that. Right? Transformation is work. Transformation is effort. It's sustained attention. Transformation is uncomfortable. Favorite joke. Change is like heaven. Everyone thinks it's a great idea. Nobody wants to go first. What we're talking about with flexibility, what we're talking about when we switch our focus from the collection behind us to the community before us, is a transformation of our own field. What we're talking about is change. And it is not in any way unusual to have people look like this when you say, here are new skill sets, and they're uncomfortable skill sets. Any adventurer, any brave person moving into a new frontier, any explorer moving into the wilderness will be afraid, will be apprehensive. They will also be thrilled. They will also be excited. They will also be happy that they have new, that they have a new ability to engage, but they are afraid. Our job as librarians is to help our fellow librarians reduce that fear. Maybe not by creating AACR2 of transformation, but by talking about what are the skills. In this conversation that I want you to have today, I want you to be fearless, but I want you to plan for the afraid. I want you to be fearless in your ideas, but I want you to say, this is what we need in order to make my librarians move forward. This is how we're going to handle the dead wood. There is no more room for dead wood in our profession. And you know what? No one ever got into this job to be dead wood. Every librarian I have ever met that is worth their salt has a story. They have a story deep in their heart. It's that story they take out when the toner breaks, cartridge goes empty again. It's that story they take out when they're in that 58th meeting. It's that story they bring in when they have to deal with the restroom issue one more time. It's that story when they have to show up at a faculty meeting and say, yes, you do have a library. Yes, we do have that journal. Shut up. Right? That story that I have heard many of, that story you take out to keep you warm, that story that you take out to re-energize you at the end of a long day, never, ever, ever have I heard a story with, you should have seen them pull the book from the shelf. That story never, ever starts with, and I chose the red carpeting. That story is never your brilliant execution of the HR policy. That story is always about a conversation. That story is always about a connection. That story is about the child who you enthralled in reading. That story is about the woman that you got out of an abusive relationship. The respect you brought to an unemployed man. That story is about transformation. It is when you engage, when you brought a new world and a new possibility to an individual. Those are the skills that got you into this profession. That is the passion. That is the thing that you wanted to do. Why now be afraid that we take that passion and we unleash it upon our communities and say, we're here to help you have that same passion, that same excitement, that same enabling spirit that allows you to have the dreams and the aspirations and to know that you have the problems, but to move forward anyway. To know that we are faced with great challenges, but we are faced with greater opportunities because we have the most powerful thing in our possession. We have knowledge. We have a community. We have togetherness. We have the people. No web, no computer, no ebook, no phone. None of that matters when we come together and make a decision. That's the conversation that I want us to have today. As we talk about these things, what I want you to talk about with yourselves are how can we unleash our own potential to truly serve the transformation of our communities? What new skills do I need? Let's talk.